Good morning, everybody. Sheena says hi, you know, so, and Rory, and Don. I'm going to talk today on the Crystal Project and go through what we've done. Just this is a run through on what we're going to do. What I'm going to speak about: the volunteer visiting, crisis avoidance hours, the calendar. I've only got two samples, so I can pass them around later, and our upcoming children's book. So the overview of the Crystal Project: we trade as the Mallow Dementia Project Limited. We're a charitable status. We have a project officer in place, Christina Reardon. It is led, as Mary was saying, by Sheena. And it's a collaboration between the HSE, Alzheimer's Society, Care Association, families, UCC, local dementia group and GPs, and people with dementia as well. So it's, our consortium is a mixture of the local community. And the aims, the original aims, like all our aims probably of the Genio projects, was to support people with dementia, support families, and to increase awareness about dementia and reduce stigma. The things I'm going to talk about today are all available to look at on our website, crystalproject.ie, and the calendars are on the website as well, so you'd be able to download and print off. We're based in, we're very fortunate, within the Mallow Primary building in Mallow, we have a memory room, and it is the base for the Crystal Project. And as you can see from the photograph, there are awards. We kind of stick them up so people can see, you know. It's information, advice and support for family carers. We did a drop-in, but we found that a lot of people didn't drop in. They preferred to make appointments, so we actually stopped the drop-in. There's a lot of information there for both the person with dementia and their families. We've assistive technology as well. We would have bought some through funds, and it's really good. You know, it's a smaller version. It's not as good as the Clonmel one, but it's just we have some there. And we do post-diagnostic meetings there. And as my role as a dementia advisor, I can arrange to meet people there as well and for relatives. So it's very central. It's great. So they're just pictures of the memory resource. And it's very homely. And again, you know, it's to move away from the clinical approach and, you know, the seating area. And, you know, we've a lot of, as you find when families come in, they're like sponges. They're looking at everything. So, like, we've signs, you know, for the bathroom. You know, we've the photo frame with the writing underneath of who it is. You know, so just that they can get ideas without even asking, kind of like osmosis. And then the table where we hold the meetings. The first part of it I'm going to talk about is the Corps de Ma, the good friends. This is the volunteer visiting service. It was the main, we'd say, remit at the time when Christine was hired for the project officer. So there was a lot of groundwork that had to be done. We had to do policies, we had to look at need and all that. And then all the paperwork was done. Then the role of it then was match the person with dementia with complex needs with volunteers in locality. And again, it was really getting to know the person with dementia, getting to know their families and getting to know the carers so that the right placement could be done and that matches were based on mutual interest and respect. And it was looked upon as the activity-based support because a lot of the volunteers, like, they were nervous. They were saying, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to do? You know, so it was to give them the skills to introduce activity-based support that you could have, you know, comfortable silences, because I often think, you know, we feel we have to be talking all the time. So the volunteer's anxiety goes up, the person with dementia anxiety goes up. So it was looking at the best approach. And with everybody had to be guard vested. That really delayed the process. You know, it was one of the challenges we faced. And another challenge was people expressed a lot of interest, but then when it came to it, there wasn't the follow-up. You know, we held a lot of... Christine would have had information sessions in different localities within North Cork and would have got a lot of names on the day of people that were interested. And then when they were approached again, you know, life had changed for them or they weren't that interested. And then some people, because Garda vetting took so long that, you know, they weren't available as a volunteer. So the process we put in place was it was referred from the project, or the person with dementia themselves could refer in. The families could refer PHNs, GPs and community-based. So it was a wide spectrum of people. Christine did a home visit and gathered information from a multidisciplinary team where applicable, because some people had complex needs and some people with dementia, a volunteer wouldn't have filled the need of the care that they wanted. You know, it was more professional care they needed. But you had to gather all the information to make that decision. Matching the person with dementia then with the volunteer. And with a lot of volunteers as well, you know, what you... they were trained as well, and they were trained on, as you were all talking about, the person-centred approach. You know, it's what the person with dementia wants. During the introductory visit with the person with dementia, the project officer and the volunteer, what was stipulated was that, look, it doesn't have to work. It mightn't work. You know, there had to be flexibility, you know, that because not everybody gets on, you know, but the person with dementia, feedback from them, feedback from the volunteer and feedback from the families, and that there was a trial period. The getting to know each other form was very helpful, especially because, you know, sometimes, and I know from experience in daycare, the social profile a lot of the time is filled out by families. You know, they don't give it to the person with dementia to fill out, as the families will do it, whereas, you know, we kind of really ask that the person with dementia fill out the getting to know each other form over time. So it was their, we'll say, personhood that was being identified, not what the family wanted us to know. There was a one-month trial period, which is very important for both the volunteer and the person with dementia and the family. So I think 1 month was long enough. I think 2 weeks was too short. And I think for the person with dementia as well, that they knew that this wasn't forever if they didn't want it. And also for the volunteer. There were monthly monitoring telephone calls. You know, Christine was always available for the volunteers if they had any challenges. And if there were any concerns, then, you know, links were made to either Sheena and I. She would contact Sheena or I. And then we could get on to the public health nurse or get on to the family directly. It was researched by an OT graduate, for which we were very grateful. The practicalities, okay, the challenges that we faced, okay, we didn't pay mileage. So that was a big thing because a lot of, you know, rural Ireland, North Cork, you know, we go as far as the Kerry border out to Newmarket. You know, you're by Limerick, by Charleville and that. So you needed people. The volunteer was really hard because sometimes we had a volunteer but they didn't want to travel and we had a person that needed them 30 miles away, you know. So it was hard. That was one of the challenges. Matching people as well, you know, the personality and mutual interests are very important because what you didn't want as well, you see a lot of people, a lot of volunteers have the best intentions in the world, but they have a notion of what dementia is and they have this set in their mind and, you know, they think they're going caring, where you kind of nearly have to re-educate them into, you know, this is about the person. And that was a challenge. One or two volunteers found that hard. They would say it, you know, it was kind of, they went in thinking they were going to care for someone, you know, that you know, but this person was very active and you know, it worked out really well in the end. Driving, there was a lot of debate out of driving, whether the volunteers could take the person with dementia out for a drive, because that was very important, especially in rural Ireland. A lot of people were isolated. A lot of debate went on around that, an awful lot of debate. We looked at different volunteer visiting in mental health in Dublin, and you know, but at the end of it anyway, they didn't drive. It was just too much. It was too much responsibility. And I think at the end, the volunteers were nearly happy themselves they didn't have to drive, because it is a big responsibility. We gave One for All and Christmas cards just to validate the volunteers, to acknowledge the good work that they did, and because we all like to be told, you know, that we're doing well. We also did the volunteer activity packs. You know, it was the education that they were given was around activity-based care and around dementia, but we needed to upskill them, so we did bags up. And actually, I should have brought a bag, but in the bag were, you know, activity packs, you know, that just gave them ideas of what they could do, you know, whether it is mindfulness colouring, whether it is, you know, card games, just to upskill them. They felt that themselves they had enough skills to do it. They didn't actually use the activity packs, but we had them. We also, like, a lot of the cost around this, the main cost actually around this was the insurance for the volunteers, and so we were able to get that. It was a challenge as well. We had to do a lot of research around it. We had to but we were able to cover the insurance for them. So the figures, okay. Since 2015, 52 people, which was a lot, and we were thrilled, but then they all just disappeared. So matched but now discontinued were five, and they discontinued for various reasons. Some of the volunteers got a job. Some of the volunteers had to take on granny duty. It wasn't what they thought it would have been. And I have to say that, you know, it wasn't because they didn't like what they were doing. There were other, you know, there were other reasons for it. Matched and visiting four, and they're going really, really well. And I know the numbers are small, you know, we're very conscious of that. And it's one of the challenges we faced, you know, it was just a combination of everything. matches on hold are two, and thankfully our waiting on Garda vetting is clear, we've zero. And then there were some people that just weren't suitable for different reasons, you know. There was four, six no longer available to volunteer and waiting to receive application back, 14, you know. So like that, of the 52, they're very small numbers, you know. We have asked ourselves why. We've gone over it, I don't know how many times. And the outcome is we really don't know. I mean, I know that in North Cork, there is a great crowd, Ballyhower Visiting Service. They work out of Churchtown, and they're very proactive in visiting older persons. So, you know, we have a brilliant volunteer service, or they have a brilliant service. So I don't know whether it was just the need wasn't there. I think a lot of it was some people don't want strangers coming to their home because it's not a structure. You know, the home helper coming in, the Alzheimer's Society home care workers are coming in. They're familiar with that, but volunteering, some people just didn't want it. But anyway, this is the testimonial, which is really good to hear. You know what I mean? You can read it there. And then Bridie's as well. You know, and a lot of the friendships will maintain, and even, you know, the volunteers say that, you know, the ones that have discontinued, you know, they felt they made friends, which was good. But it was a learning lesson because we really had high hopes. We really thought this would take off. But the positive out of it, the matches that are already going on are really successful in that. So we have to look at that. So that's the volunteers. The next thing is the crisis avoidance. This was another thing, too, when we were applying to Genio, was, you know, crises happen out of hours. They all don't happen 9 to 5. They happen out of hours. And what we looked at was that it would be when there was a crisis. The initial one was crisis intervention. Sorry, I just wanted to give a background. That we would go in the time of crisis. You know, if somebody broke their hip and the person with the broken hip had to go to hospital, that we then would put in a care and that they would stay with the person with dementia. We sent out research forms on different crises that families had, and it was amazing that what came in. A crisis, the interpretation of what a crisis is very different for everybody else. You know, one woman, her crisis was that she had dismantled bed and she couldn't put it back together, and it was just a stressor. More people, the crisis was, you know, what we would think is when the person was sick. But we had no uptake. You know, it was as if when crisis happened that families kick in, you know, and that things come and, you know, things gel and they happen. So we revisited it and we changed it to crisis avoidance. So what we looked at was preventing the crisis, you know, that families that would have a high care burden scale, that we would put in a 6-week block of care. And it was for individuals with complex needs. Now, we had a strict criteria. You know, they had to have a recent hospital admission. There had to be the care burden scale. There had to be complex needs. There was, you know, the care burden scale, it was the Zara's care burden scale, but it was very complex in the end. A lot of families didn't want to fill it out, so we would have interacted with the PHNs to find out really how things were going on in the house. If they're on a waiting list, like one family I can think of, they had been approved home help for the weekend, but there was no, the money wasn't there. So we put in the hours then for the 6 weeks. So when we got a referral in, either a self-referral from the families, from the public health nurse, or from the Alzheimer's Society, from Linda in the daycare, or from me as dementia advisor, they had to meet three of the criteria. There were 8 criteria, and they had to meet 3. It then had to be signed off by Sheena or I, or both of us, sorry, 2 of us of the working group, Cormac as well, Cormac Sheehan. So 2 of us would have to sign off on it. And then to cut down on, we'll say, replica, because we all know filling out forms, families just, you know, it's a lot of stress. We took basic information and we then contacted either CareBright or Home Instead, and we fed out the information to them. We proved the hours. Now, it was very individual. Like, as you can see there, hours ranged from 12 hours to 96 hours over 6 weeks, all depended on need. You know, it was really person-centred, and this is one of the things we're really proud of. It was what the family needed. So we would then give the information to CareBright or to Home Instead. They then would contact the family. We would have told Home Instead the hours that we had approved, so whether it was 6 or whether it was 12 or 96. We would have asked the family what day they wanted, but there was flexibility in that. There was no flexibility in the number of hours. And it was stipulated and explained to the families, this is for 6 weeks. And after that, then, I mean, in the ideal world, the HSE would have had money to kick in and maybe maintain the service. But unfortunately, the funding wasn't there. But we had to explain to them that, look, you know, this is it. Some families were extremely grateful, but some families spent the 6 weeks wondering why this can't go on, you know. And that was one of the challenges. Like, it was great ringing up a family or going out to them and saying, look, we'll give you a six-week block. Hardest thing then was ringing it up saying it was ending. That was really hard. Because people get used to support, you know, but we would like to think that it did help with avoiding crisis. The post service then was the follow-up to ensure individuals maximise use of the existing services, you know, because sometimes families hadn't been in contact with us, or they'd only been in contact with the public health nurse and they didn't know what services were available. So there was an educational aspect to this as well, you know, that you know, we linked them in with daycare, linked them in with home care, linked them in with the memory room, you know, whether they needed OT referral or physio referral. So just to make sure that they were accessing the services. And then we made cases to the HSE to increase service hours. So just to go back to the hours ranging for 12 hours, like the 96 hours there was overnight. You know, some people were getting absolutely no sleep. So we would have put in overnight, you know, 2 hours or two nights a week or one night a week. 12 hours then usually would have been 6 hours for 2 days a week. You know, some families just wanted somebody, you know, that they could go do stuff, you know. We did an eight-hour block, and I think there's a testimonial here. But one family, their daughter was studying for the Leaving Cert, and the mum was at home every Sunday with them, but she couldn't get any study done because the mum wanted, you know, there was a lot of activity going on around the house. So we gave 12 hours or 8 hours on a Sunday where mum was able to stay at home because all she wanted to be was in her house, not at the daughter's house. So that was one example. The other example was the wife post-surgery. Another was the daughter had broken her ankle. She was the main carer, so we put help in. And again, we compliment... 2 minutes? Are you serious? Jesus. Sorry. I said that out loud. I'm dangerous when I'm up here. Okay, so that's it in a nutshell, okay? So we had to explain that it was to get families over the hump, and, you know, they were very appreciative of it. I'll skip that, okay? Next thing, quickly, it's not just dementia calendars. This is the one thing we really believed in. I'm working in dementia care 18 years, and the one thing, if you have a diagnosis of dementia, everything gets blimped on it, you know. So it was, you know, if you have an ingrown toenail and you're cranky, oh, it's the dementia, you know. And the whole idea with these calendars was really as an education for care staff and for nursing staff and GPs, was that it's not just dementia. So each month... is a different reason, you know. So it's like, what's this? I have no glasses on me now, so I can't tell you. So I'll just give you a quick example of what they are. They're available on our website anyway. The medication's making me drowsy. You know, if somebody's sleeping all day and they'll say, oh, you know, it's the dementia. It's now, you know, delirium especially, but, you know, that a lot of people with severe constipation and that have acute onset of confusion. You know, it's delirium, it's not dementia. You know, I'm thirsty. You know, I'm cold, I'm hot. They were very basic, But very helpful, really positive feedback in 2005, so much so that we did a 2016 as well. We were highly recommended in Irish Healthcare Awards. I would love to see this as an annual thing. The challenge in 2016 was coming up with 12 more topics, but like there's a load of topics out there, even if we just reprinted the same. But it's a fantastic training tool as well, you know, for students, or, you know, even sometimes when I go out to families, you know, you'd give them this, and it really makes them think, you know, that because sometimes we get caught up in this person-centred care and we don't look for answers, we don't look as to why. Time's up, okay. The children's book is being made. The one thing as well, one of our brainstorming things was, there's no Irish children's book. Like, we bought a lot through the internet, and that they're all American, you know, the underwear and the refrigerator, you know. So we're making an Irish one that have potatoes in it, bacon and cabbage, and it's to do with the journey of dementia for the grandmother. So that hopefully will be launched in May. Okay, the other projects, the family information session, supports, public awareness, memory group, goal focus service, singing for the brain, cafe dementia, or I could go on, but I won't. What we've learned, quickly, okay. One-stop shop. The memory room really is fantastic. It really is a great base. Start small, flexible working hours, pool resources. Again, nobody has ownership on dementia. We all need to work together, whether it's HSE, Alzheimer's Society, voluntary groups, everybody. Branding, not everything work will be proper. The support groups, you know, we're down to every 3 months. the memory cafe was, you know, we tried our best, it just didn't work. Inclusion of others, different perspective, use the media, there will be mistakes, you don't know what you don't know. Evaluation and monitoring are really essential. But we hit all our targets and everything, so we're very happy with that. Sorry now. Thank you very much.